Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. Nathan Williams, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, all with you today on a Wednesday. The Wednesday poll question from Fesco and Dusty. Who is more likely to turn things around individually this season? There are two names. Listeners, two names. Chris Jones, Harrison Butker. 100 of you have placed your votes, and 58% of you say Chris Jones.
Okay.
42% of you say Harrison Butker.
I think it's easier maybe for a defensive lineman to quote unquote get it back than it is for a kicker to get it back. Because again, as we watch the kicker, everything they do is magnified, right? Because we're all watching the kicker. What percentage of us are watching the defensive line on every play? It's natural to follow the ball. That's just the way it works. That's how our eyes work. That's how our brain works. So it's hard to see if Chris Jones is going to make that improvement, but you could also say, as long as he isn't loafing like he was the other night in Jacksonville, I think it's going to be good. Somebody sent me a mashup of a bunch of plays from Jacksonville. It wasn't just the last play that Chris Jones was standing around on. There was a couple of others where he didn't even bother rushing the quarterback, and Trevor Lawrence just went right behind him and threw the defense like a hot knife through butter. So he's got to play better. He is absolutely 100% have to play better, but also the kicker has to play better as well. I think the defensive lineman can get it back. I think it's going to be hard for this kicker to get it back, Dusty. I hate being that guy, but I just feel like, man, we have not seen anything from Harrison Butker this year that gives me any sort of confidence that I know I can rely on that guy.
We had one response to the Twitter poll again on the Fan 965, who is more likely to turn things around individually this season, Chris Jones or Harrison Butker. One response, kicker is done in Kansas City. He is a liability. I saw B-Dub had a Facebook status after the game. He said, y'all can leave that kicker in Jacksonville.
Yeah, right. But it's true, though. I mean, like, when we had Harrison Butker at his best, how much of a weapon and a relief was
Wade
that,
Davis
right?
In the ninth.
Exactly. Like, you were just set for life when you have a kicker or a closer or, you know, somebody who can get those final three outs. When the Yankees went to the seventh inning last night, I was thinking to myself, well, they'll just turn it over to Mariano here and get this thing done. You don't have to worry about it. But, you know, they don't have Mariano Rivera. And I'm thinking with the Chiefs now, well, if you just get past the 50, you can turn this over to Harrison Butker. You don't have Harrison Butker anymore and a guy that's reliable to be able to do that. So there is that anxiety that he causes now.
I was so hoping he would have his moment Monday night.
I know.
Because the 16 seconds, three timeouts, the slant against Hollywood Brown that hit him in the shoulder pad because he didn't turn around quick enough to see if he'd have that moment where it's like, all right, buddy,
yep,
send this to overtime. Here's your opportunity. If he drills it, we don't have this poll question today.
No, we don't.
I really don't think so. We didn't get that opportunity, obviously, because the game didn't go that well. And I ask you this, and I ask both you guys this, and listeners as well, so pay attention. This is the third highest penalized team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't good.
No.
Normally, your highest penalized teams are the teams that have, like the Jets, the Bengals, teams like that. Who do we keep accountable for this? Now, I know you could say the players are the ones that make the penalties, but 13 for 109 yards. I mean, that sounds like a Puka Nacua stat record, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that sounds like a 13 catches, 109 yards for Puka, just an average game in the NFL for him. But they've got to stop shooting themselves in the foot. Bad teams do this. Good teams stay away from the whistle. I just worry this is something that is a sign of lack of discipline, and I know that may not be the case, but if it's not, then what is it? This is why I say they need to have that little, like, meeting inside the building. I'm not saying it's like sheer panic like it was in Philadelphia, where they had a meeting between three players that came out earlier this week. I heard Nick Wright talking about as well yesterday that Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, and Jalen Hurts had a two-hour meeting.
What are they talking about for 2 hours in there? I mean, that I would not.
If we're ever in that back office for 2 hours, I'm quitting the show.
I would just never be there for more than 10 minutes.
You know? Right. You should have – everything should be known because – you know, we've seen this before with Philadelphia, right? I think Colin Cowherd said this as well yesterday. Like, when they try to correct something, they overcorrect something, right?
Right,
like,
yes.
They don't run the ball. Like, last week, Saquon Barkley got a couple handoffs, and they just went away from it.
Gone.
They just started to
run the ball in the second half at all.
Then
when they
throw too much, then they overrun the ball.
Right.
And the Chiefs, 13 penalties in that game on Monday night, that's uncharacteristic. And a lot of it was on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And do you put a lot of this on Andy? Do you put a lot of this on Spags? Do you just kind of have the players be like, hey, we're better than this? Because both Andy and Spagnuolo will get in the ass of these players and be like, this can't happen. So who is accountable for this right now? Is it the players? Is it Andy? Or is it Spags in that defense? Well,
ultimately, it's Andy Reid because he's the leader. He's the head coach of that organization. I always make the easy workplace analogy. Like if you're at work and nobody's doing their job and your boss is never there, well, you're taking on that personality of the guy who's in charge. Now, I'm not saying Andy Reid is doing any of that because he's not. But at the end of the day, he's the guy in charge, right? He's the head football coach. Everything stops at his desk. And so, you know, I really, as we've kind of talked about a little bit this morning, I need Andy Reid to have that meeting with the 52 players on the field that he had with Juwan Taylor, because whatever it was that he said to Juwan Taylor, guys, has been brilliant. It may go down as Andy Reid's best coaching move to get Juwan Taylor to not commit any penalties. And again, we've seen now Juwan Taylor with eight quarters. He's a good football player. He's a really good football player. He just committed those penalties and cost this team. We're five games into the season. We've seen the penalties on Taylor. We've seen the penalties on the team as a whole. Andy Reid has rectified that first grouping of penalties. Now, his teams do have, technically, over the course of history, they are a pretty penalized bunch, you know, when Andy Reid is running the operation. And I think a lot of that comes from BU, show your personality and all that stuff you don't want to stop. But he has to go in there and lay down the law this week and say, guys, we had 13 penalties. I know what he said to the media. We had 13 penalties. They had four. I didn't agree with all of them, but they called them. I was talking to an official yesterday at this event that I was at, the Johnny Boy Foundation, yesterday. He was an official who did high-level college stuff and has a lot of NFL friends that are officials. I go, how often are these guys ready? He goes, well over 90% of the time they grade out. I mean, they're grading out well over 90% of being right. And so there may be a couple of calls that you don't like, but more than 90% of the time, these guys are grading out as legitimate, you know, correct officials. And so Andy may not like all of the penalties. The Chiefs got away with some stuff as well in that game. But you just got to stress to your guys, we're not going to handle this anymore. We are now telling you, if you commit penalties, there will be repercussions. And it worked with Juwan Taylor. It could work with everybody else out there.
No doubt about it. Nathan's here, not Mac, but Bob's still here. So we get to Bob's bottom feeders, plus we get to Nathan's pack, Mac's pack. But with Nathan, I like
Nathan's numbers.
Nathan's numbers. There you go. I guess that works as well. We'll do that next here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, there's some people having a tough morning.
Are there?
Yeah, but I want to help people out.
All right, let's do that.
I'm here to get you back to your good feels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, let's do that.
From the 913, accountability has to go to Andy Reid and the coaching staff. Their message falls on deaf ears, and entitled stars are tuning them out. Chiefs are undisciplined. We have to accept that, Dusty. And undisciplined teams draft in the top five. It's time for Andy Reid and his entire coaching staff to go.
Do you want to fire the greatest coach in NFL history, the greatest defensive coordinator probably in NFL history, and a phenomenal coaching staff because the Chiefs are 2-3?
Jay Binkley did say there's a good quarterback at Alabama. Maybe we could tank for that guy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That Tyler or something. I will say
they do seem undisciplined.
Yes.
They do seem a little out of character when it comes to some of the penalties, right? That's got to change. And that starts with the man at the top. Now, nowhere in the world of worlds am I saying that he should be sent packing.
Right.
But I'm saying that I do think there needs to be a message loud and clear, right? Like I said all the time, you know, I never really felt bad when my dad was like, I'm just mad at you right now.
Which, happy birthday to your old man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Kurt Lykins, 69 today. Nice. So happy.
Sweet.
Happy birthday to my father. Happy birthday, Kurt Lykins. I hope you have a great day. I hope you have another fun trip around the sun.
You stole my line. Damn you.
That's right. Happy birthday to Kurt Lykins. I hope you have the greatest day today, Dad. So happy 69th birthday.
That's awesome, man. Happy 69 birthday,
on your 69th. As weird as that is for me to say out loud. But to get back to it, it's like when your father or your mother or whoever it was that would tell you, I'm not mad at you, I'm just very disappointed. That hurt a little bit more when you heard that. And I think that's going to be the message going into the line. Like, they're going to run today.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to earn it at practice today, right?
Right. Yeah.
And when you look at what that game was, that merits that sort of message. Like, if they lose that game and they have five penalties and Trevor Lawrence throws a perfect throw in the corner of the end zone and there's not a pass interference call, then, you know, you lost.
Right.
But you had a pass interference call. You had multiple holding calls. You had multiple plays on special teams with Johnny Cochran that got two penalties that you know, kind of debunked some runs there from Rashard Smith on the return.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you look at that, that is something that I think, you know, when everybody gets to the building today, it's like, oh, we're going to Andy's office. This is different. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, when everybody starts to walk in and you see Spags and Andy and Nagy and Merritt and all these guys standing there and Dave Tobe as well, you're like, all right, Dad's disappointed. What are we going to do? Now, I hope that the message is loud and clear, but I hope the message does not get them to think too much while playing. There is a fine line in here.
Oh, sure there is.
We talked about it briefly that Philadelphia had a 3-man meeting with Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Saquon Barkley that lasted 2 hours for some unforsaken reason.
Have been catered lunch in that thing.
You need Binkley to come to that meeting and tell you that Bailey Zappi
is still pizza, playing. You know?
Yeah, the classic.
The classic.
So, you know, I do think that, you know, it does Dave merit a conversation with the entire team. Even if there's one guy that's like, I played clean, like Trey McDuffie or Nick Bolton.
Well, you
guys
can't
like that.
Be that guy in this situation.
And that's what
yeah.
I think is the advantage of the Chiefs. Like, I think everybody that is in that locker room is on the same page. Like, yes, we have to clean it up. If we clean it up, and we keep playing this offense, and we can get a little bit more tight on defense, and then get Noel Williams in the game, then I think that we will see something change. And you're playing a beat-up defense in Detroit, and where they're beat up is your advantage. They're beat up in the secondary.
Right. You can exploit them so much with the pass.
But
I mean,
you've got to do is you cannot give Detroit second chances because of penalties or mishaps on, you know, tipped balls or missed sacks, because Detroit will scorch you with this offense.
No, they'll take advantage of it. But no, you're right. I mean, there needs to be a meeting today. There needs to be a conversation. I don't think there needs to be yelling and screaming or anything like that, but it needs to be a stern conversation of Andy Reid going in there and here's how I would do it. Not that anybody really, you know, thinks that I should be a head football coach in the NFL except for me and Danan Hughes, who absolutely endorsed me for that position. Thank you still for that, Danan. But I would walk in today and I'd show them all the positive things, right? And then I'd be like, look, we had 13 penalties in the game. We did a lot of really good things. Guys, because of the way you went out there and didn't play with your heads, it cost us the opportunity to celebrate all of these good things. Look at all this stuff that we were able to accomplish offensively in this game. Look at all this stuff. Like, we were playing really good defense up until the end. Look at all of this really good stuff that we were able to accomplish that we can't celebrate because you didn't use your noggin. You didn't do the basic stuff. You didn't play within the rules of the game. And we can't have that anymore. There's no team in the NFL that's is good enough at this point in time to overcome 10 penalties, a difference from your opponent like the Chiefs had to do. We can't continue to do that kind of stuff. And so we want to celebrate all this stuff. We love where we are as a team. We love what's going on. But if we continue to commit these penalties, all this stuff we love isn't going to matter because we're not going to get wins. And then January is going to roll around and we're all going to be scratching our ass. And we don't want that. So, guys, I need you to go out there. I need you to play. I can't say perfect football because that's not fair. But I need you to play the mistake-free football. I need you to use your head. I need you to not commit these penalties. We can't have that. And, oh, by the way, this is your warning. See you later. And then walk out the door and let them take care of business themselves. Because if they do, things will move in the right direction for this team.
It's time for Max Pack.
Maven's notes.
I'll scratch yours if you scratch mine, Bob.
All right. Ass or back?
Hey, now.
When you're acid, just that means you've had too much pepper in your diet. That's what my Nana told me.
What?
Yep.
That you have too much pepper in your diet?
Mm-hmm. Never heard that or anything close
to
that.
Hey, now!
Mm-hmm. This is not Mac, but it's Max Pack. It's Nathan's notes. The text line had a few different ideas, but...
Oh, yeah? What did they have?
Oh.
Anything clean?
Well, the text line's blowing up about how dumb that text is about fire Andy Reid.
Oh, it's arguably the dumbest text we've ever received to the station. Well, is it? Yeah. I mean, we've received a lot, but... Wanting to fire the greatest football coach of all time and his staff because the Chiefs are 2-3, I ask you this, text liner, who's your replacement? Who you can get? Because you ain't getting anybody better.
Well, John Harbaugh, Zach Taylor,
yeah.
Mike McDaniel,
Callahan,
Dayball,
yeah.
Glenn.
Who do you want? Yeah, fire Andy Reid. Great, great text there on a Wednesday morning. You must not gotten laid last night.
Canales. Two of us. Yeah. At number five, I'm going to start off with the Kansas City Chiefs. Thought long and hard about putting the Colts on this list.
Oh, you did get it last night, long and hard. Eggplant for you? Yeah.
It does not make three of us, Dusty. Chiefs are number five.
Nice.
She was actually at a concert, so that was a lie. I don't know why I did that. I trust the veterans and the Hall of Famers to improvements necessary. Hey, shout out to Cam. We got the hookup, all right?
Her
and all her girlfriends went out. I was in bed at 8:30.
According to South Park, when girls go see the Jonas Brothers, they get really, really well.
Where was the concert?
It was in T-Mobile. We live out in Lawrence.
I was going to say, by the time she drove back to Lawrence, I get you.
Baby.
What time did she get home?
I have no clue.
He was asleep at 8:30.
Yeah, I have no clue. I just woke up and she was there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. So I get all you. That
tomorrow, Nathan's going to wake up in sheer panic at like 5:30. Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You should come in anyway.
What were we talking about? That's right. The Chiefs are number five. I trust their veterans, their Hall of Famers, to get these things right. I know they're 2-3. I know what the record says. Mm-hmm. They're a top five team in this league. Number four is the Eagles. And if this was a stock up, stock down situation, they would be all the way pointing down. We just talked about the team meeting that happened. I guess that's better than last year because last year A.J. Brown wasn't speaking to anyone, and now they're talking for 2 hours.
Well, he's talking to two of his teammates at this point.
It's going to blow up, guys.
If you're Devontae Smith, are you like, hey, I didn't get the call?
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
Oh, I'm sure Sirianni's mad that he wasn't involved, even though he's, because it's all about him out there,
that
too.
That feels like the team was, like, they got that first loss, and now it's just going to spiral out of control.
It's not an exact replica of 2 years ago after that Super Bowl. They're going to start off 5-6-1, and then I think they're going to, fall off a cliff, losing the first round of the playoffs. That's how I see the season going for them.
Did they travel to the Meadowlands on Thursday night?
Thursday night, yeah.
Jackson Dart.
Ooh, hey play.
We get Jackson Dusty Dart on Thursday night. Let's go. So you got Chiefs at five, Eagles at four, three is?
The Buccaneers.
The old creamsicles, baby.
Yeah. Yes, I think this is the year for Baker Mayfield. When I say the year, I mean maybe an NFC Championship year, maybe the year that he has a big playoff moment.
MVP season?
I think he's
probably best odds.
Outside of Mahomes and Allen, he's the other guy you could throw in that conversation. Their four wins have all been on four game-winning drives, and I think that narrative is going to keep building as he continues to do that. This is without Bucky Irving, without Mike Evans, without much of a defense either. They're clamoring for a pass rusher in there. It's just Baker Mayfield. And what's that guy's name? Gronk could let us know.
Yeah,
I don't know if we got that audio.
Emeka Ugbaka.
Hey, I can get it for you.
Yeah, get that for me. I forget his name. Buccaneers are number three on this list. At number two is the Buffalo Bills. This is because there's no one else to put at number two. outside of Josh Allen, I don't see this team doing anything. There's nothing that the Bills are doing that makes me think they win because of this reason. They're kind of there by default. They're also going to win their division by default.
Yep.
They're going to get the one seed seemingly by default because of this schedule as well. Bills are number two. And number one is a team that I think is the highest flying offense in the league right now, a team that has a maniac at head coach. Maybe they're a little depleted in the secondary right now, but they're your opponent this Sunday night, and they're also underdogs on Sunday night. The Detroit Lions are the number one team on my list.
Yeah, you got the best team in the NFL, according to you, coming in as a 2.5-point underdog to the Chiefs that started as a 1.5-point underdog, now a 2.5-point underdog to the Chiefs. It's crazy how that line's moving.
Yeah, you never see Mahomes beat Goff either.
Emeka Ekpegbu. Emeka Ekpegbu.
I'll go through my bottom feeders on the list. Coming in at number five are the New York Football Giants. They had an opportunity. They were right there. And then they kind of pulled the chief and committed like 85 turnovers in the second half and penalties all over the place, and they couldn't win. So they come in at number five. The Browns, number four this week in the NFL. They just traded arguably the best quarterback on their roster, which isn't saying much. And so the Browns come in at number four. The Raiders are number three on the list this week. I think they're going to continue to fall and fall and fall. They need to hit bottom before they can bounce back up. They may suit up Tom Brady this year. And the two worst teams in the NFL come from the same division. The Miami Dolphins come in at number two. And the worst team in the National Football League, the only team that hasn't won yet. And for the first time in their illustrious history, the Jets have started 0-5. Aaron Glenn may be looking for work sooner rather than later. He may be a one and done with the New York Jets.
Because he did a cool dance on the sideline earlier this year.
That's about all we got going right now.
I almost teared up listening to Vinny Pasquantino on Cody and Gold yesterday talk about his Jets fandom. I mean, it's bonkers how bad that team is year.
I don't feel bad anymore for people who root for losers. Like, you're a Jet fan, Vinny. You chose the Jets because the quarterback had the same name as you. Run away. He's not there anymore. Just become a Chiefs fan. How many years of suffering can these Jet fans go through where you just finally look at them and go, you're choosing this life?
Emeka Ekpegbu.
I love that.
I love that Vinny said yesterday with him as well. If you were listening to that part, Nathan, he said, you know what? I know the Jets aren't going to win, but if you talk to me at 11 o'clock every Sunday, I'm going to tell you exactly why they will win the game.
That's right.
That's a fan right there.
Yeah. No, that is a fan, because like I say all the time, if I'm watching the Chiefs game, I think I have an impact on that outcome. So I get where he's coming from. But after a while, man, you just get beaten over the head by so many years of losing and frustration. Stop spending your money and just walk away from that, man. It's okay.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
Real quick, since we're giving shout-outs, I had the greatest oatmeal raisin cookie of my life yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, from Miss Emily.
Oh, it was fantastic.
We went out for her birthday last Friday. She gave me a little party pack. It was powdered sugar donuts and oatmeal raisin cookies. They made my toes curl. Your guys' curl on a Tuesday after the session. I mean, soft, moist, delicious.
Why did you wait until Monday or Tuesday to have that cookie? Mine were gone
fasting.
By Friday. Oh, you're fasting? Mm. I got another friend that's fasting. He's been fasting for like 24 straight hours, and he says all he's doing is pooping and puking. And I'm like,
I'm not doing the 24. I'm doing like the intermediate fasting.
Well, so I just do that because of my life, you know? Like, I don't eat lunch until about 1 o'clock after I get done. Mm. So I feel like I'm going like 18 hours, so fasting, huh?
Yeah.
Those cookies were good, though.
Insane.
I will tell you.
Shout out to Emily.
The sleeper in that variety pack that Emily made were the donuts.
Dude, powdered sugar donuts are undefeated.
I don't know what brand they were, but they were top-notch powdered sugar donuts. They were just fantastic.
A little glass of milk with those?
No. Just a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, every time I eat them, I look like I have rabies.
Yeah.
Because they just have like white foam around.
You
my
see
mouth.
That picture Ryan sent?
Oh, yeah. All the way up his nose. Shout out Ryan of Cactus. All right, Nathan, let's get to one word.
Let's kick off one word. I want to start with the fact we've hinted around it a couple of times. The Chiefs are 2.5-point favorites right now in this one. What do you make of that? One word on the Chiefs opening as favorites.
Studs is what I make of that. Vegas is looking at this team and realizing they're ready to erupt. They're ready to be that team. They're a great offensive football team right now. They're playing a defensive football team that has no defensive backs. So Vegas is looking at the Chiefs going, you got a real opportunity. We believe in you. Do you believe in us, in you, as much as we believe in you? So I'll use the term stud for that because this is a studly football team.
Absurd would be mine. I think this should be a pick'em game, in my personal opinion. 2.5 for the Chiefs to be favorites. Again, we do this all the time. We did it last year when, was it Houston and the Jets that played on a Thursday night football game? And Houston was like 3.5-point favorites. And we're like, it's only 3.5? What are we doing? It's like, never go against Vegas. And Aaron Rodgers beat the Houston Texans. And we're like, see?
Yep.
It always seems to make sense. They do what they do for a reason. They get the job for what they do.
Now, the one they were wrong on was that Baltimore game 2 weeks ago.
Yes, yes, where the Chiefs were 2.5-point underdogs.
Right.
So it's to me, it's absurd. But again, I'm staying away from it, and we'll see what our script is on Friday. But yeah, that's insane that Detroit is 2.5-point dogs.
All right, we talked about the Detroit secondary, but on the other side of the ball, the Chiefs secondary was no good on Monday night. Mm-hmm. A couple of communication errors. Busted coverages, couple of penalties, or guys just aren't getting their head around. The Lions, they can score. So maybe there's a lot of points involved here. I think the Lions at around 51 last time I checked. One word about your feeling about the Chiefs' secondary against the Lions' offense.
Concerning, but I've got the opportunity to kind of use that as a wait and see because, as you mentioned earlier, where was Noel Williams? He's been playing really good football for this team. And he just wasn't out there on Monday night. I don't know, like 4 snaps, right, Dusty?
Mm.
I don't know why. And that's a little bit of a concern to me. He's one of your better, if not your best, defensive back, right? He's playing great football, right? Not your best, because Trent McDuffie's pretty damn good. But I don't know why he wasn't out there. I need to see more of him this week.
Yeah, my one word on the secondary is readless. You lost your leader in the secondary, and you're seeing that sort of come to fruition when it comes to lack of discipline, penalties. Brian Cook, there's a lot of question marks around that guy that we were high praising out of Cincinnati a couple years ago in the draft. Jaden Hicks had a hell of a stick on Trevor Lawrence on the goal line, but it's concerning. It's lost. It's readless. There needs to be somebody that can get into that ass of that secondary and really wake these guys up because I think they're better than they're performing, but prove it.
I just feel like it's one game. They had a bad game. You know, don't let one game become two games, right?
We always were bad against the Chargers.
Well, yeah, the first game of the year. Yeah. But again, that was like, you know, first game of the year. Everybody was bad in that one. But I don't think, I'm not concerned like overall. I'm a little concerned for this game, obviously, because Detroit has a good offense. But I got Spags and I got Dave Merritt. Like, I'm trusting those guys to get the job done. I've got unbridled trust and faith in them.
Because if I'm the Lions, I look at how the Jags used Travis Hunter, and that's how they're going to use Jameis Williams. And I worry about his speed. Obviously, Amara St. Brown is going to be locked up with Trent McDuffie. We'll see that battle. That'll be one for the ages. But Jameis Williams, Sam Laporta, and then Montgomery and Gibbs in the backfield.
Yeah, those packs.
Be honest with you, Chris Jones, you better play big.
Yeah.
Well, the text line has let us know this morning that he's never sacked Jared Goff. So that's the way Reed
Neither
needs to
have
motivate Chris Jones.
And Patrick
Jones,
Mahomes has never beat Jared Goff.
Yeah, that is true. He's
Andy,
never beat
Goff.
If
you're listening,
there's
your message to your players this week, apparently. Guys, Joe Flacco was traded in the division yesterday. Makes you think about what Shedeur Sanders' status is moving forward. And, of course, Dad was asked about it after the trade. Here's what he had to say.
I was just wondering what your reaction is.
I don't give a damn about the Browns at all.
He's right.
I care about the Colorado Buffaloes. I do love me some Shedeur Sanders, don't believe that. I care about him. The rest of that mess, I don't, okay?
All right, yeah, Deion says he does not care about that mess in Cleveland.
Perfect.
Just the Buffaloes and his son. Yeah, one word, Bob.
Perfect. That is the absolute right answer for that. He nailed it. There is nothing wrong with what he said at all. It was the perfect, perfect answer to give because when I saw that he made comments about Shedeur, I'm like, oh, no. Did he do it again? He did not go dad mode. He went, it's not my deal. And I love the fact that he did that. That's a big moment for Deion right there.
Yeah, fatherly. I mean, you support your son. You don't have to support the team. Your son's not going to be on that team much longer, I don't think. He is the backup now in Cleveland behind Dylan Gabriel. So we are on a Shedeur watch. Which will be entertaining for many, many different ways. But, yeah, I mean, it was right, I guess, would be my one word for Deion.
All right. Got one more for you here. Brother-on-brother trade, as we brought up earlier. Odafe Owe sent from John Harbaugh to Jim Harbaugh, so he's now in the division. You might think the Ravens shouldn't be letting anybody from that defense go. They need all the help they can get, but Owe has no sacks this year. Now, he had double-digit sacks last year, so he's been a productive player. Mm-hmm. So I want one word on what you think this does to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, the one word I will use is brothers for this one, and I think John called Jim and said, hey, we ain't doing so well this year. You got an opportunity. What do you need? Well, I could use a defensive lineman. All right, we'll give you this guy. And there you go.
Like, you think John said I'm on the way out, so what do you want before I'm out of here?
Yeah, you know, one of those type of deals where, hey, we're not going to do this good this year, but you're my brother and you guys may have a nice season. Can I help you out? I kind of like that. I think that's cool.
I would say one word would be active. As Adam Schefter told us yesterday, there's going to be plenty of trades coming up on the next Mondays and Tuesdays until the November 26th trade deadline.
November 26th is your next day without football.
Yeah. November 4th, that deadline. So active is what it is. They each need to help each other. They both went to each other and said, hey, we'll give you this guy. You give us that guy. Deal done. Chiefs, you're on the clock to make a move. I'm going to give you a topic on the other side of why I think you should be rooting for the Dodgers to win the World Series. I'll make it make sense, I promise, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I promise you this segment is not to piss you off, but it's to get you to come to my side of the reality of what could happen. I think that if you watch baseball this year, and I know this sounds really weird to say, you should want the Dodgers to win the World Series. And the reason I say that is if you want change to happen in baseball and you want there to be a salary cap and a salary floor. Now, it takes a lot of parties involved to get this thing to go through, but if you do, you want to see the Dodgers win the World Series because they will win back-to-back World Series. And one thing that got the entire country to talk about a salary cap involved the Dodgers, because in the offseason when they went and made their moves and brought in new players and brought in new pitchers and gave the money that furloughed to the, you know, when Ohtani's 61,
mm-hmm.
That was the conversation that really, or that was the needle that popped the balloon, right? Like, that's where everybody was like, the Jesse Pinkman meme. He can't keep getting away with this. Like, right. The Dodgers keep adding. They're playing arguably what was the best team in the National League this year in the Philadelphia Phillies.
And destroying them.
Absolutely destroying them.
Did you see
them.
What 1, 2, and 3 in their lineup are doing? Like, Schwarbs and Harper?
I want to say it's like 3 for 15.
I don't know if it's that good, but there's like 15 strikeouts too. Those guys stink at the top of that lineup for Philadelphia.
Because the Dodgers have gone out and gotten every Cy Young pitcher there is.
Mm-hmm.
Their starting rotation is Blake Snell, Shohei Ohtani, Tyler Glasnow, Yamamoto, who's pitching tonight, who I think the Dodgers are going to sweep the Phillies, and I don't think the Cubs or the Brewers stand a chance against the Dodgers. They have Sasaki, who's one of the highest prospects in baseball, cards worth $1,000 if you can get the right one, and they just aren't going to go away.
Oh, and Kershaw's coming out of the bullpen, too. Or whether he's Kershaw or not, he's still Kershaw in name, you know?
Right, and, you know, the Yankees would love to have that at, you know, the eighth inning to have Clayton Kershaw
yeah,
come
they
out.
Would.
So you look at them destroying Philadelphia. Like I said, I think they're going to destroy the Cubs or the Brewers, and maybe I'm wrong in 3 weeks. Who cares? But I think that if the Dodgers win the World Series and they do it again with this completely loaded roster that they continue to pay for, because they can, it's not against the rules, you will want to see some sort of change. Because as much as people want to hate the Kansas City Chiefs for continuously winning and going to the Super Bowl, there's a cap in football.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to it than just buying all of your players. And when you see this sort of thing happen in baseball and you want to see change in baseball, you need to see the same things continue to happen that aren't ruining your sport, because the sport is in a renaissance. We're seeing games go faster. We're seeing ratings go up on TV. We're seeing ratings go up and attendance when it comes to baseball games.
Did you see where the biggest increase in attendance was, or in TV ratings was in baseball this year? Like the 18 to 39 year old category. Young people are watching baseball.
And I've always said this, the renaissance in the baseball card game has created that.
No doubt.
The college kids getting drafted and playing in the same year has changed that.
Yep.
And all of that is ruined because the Dodgers continue to just go out and be, you know, the big hog flex and just spend money and make their roster as big as they can. And then they'll put all the money away so they don't get hit on, you know, years and cap and all this sort of stuff. So I think that if the Dodgers win the World Series, the conversation will get louder. It'll get more people behind it. Now, again, you have the players union and you have the, you know, all the, you know, the big heads that want to change the rules.
Yeah.
But this is something where it's like, okay, something needs to change. We need to have a salary cap, but we also need to have a floor, because teams like Miami and Pittsburgh and the Athletics, who just don't want to spend, they just want to make the right amount of money to get their team profitable for the year. That's also got to be a difference in the way it goes too. But with the Dodgers winning and continuing to run through baseball and make it zero fun for anybody, there has to be some sort of change involved.
Well, and I think you're right about that. But, you know, this is one of those things where you're preaching to the choir right now. The people who need to hear that message are like the five or six big-time paid baseball players who are really ruining it for all of the other baseball players right now. Like, the last time this work stoppage thing happened, you know, a couple of years ago, it was the guys that are making the $300 million a year that are leading the charge. And they're saying, no salary cap. We're making all this kind of money, and we can afford to sit out because we make this money. The rank and file employees, the average major leaguer, makes obviously a lot more money than we do at this point in time, but they're not raking it in like the Max Scherzers and the guys that have been leading the players union over the last couple of years. They need the rank and file guys to step up and say, okay, a salary cap is actually really good for professional sports. Look what it's done to the NFL. And in the NFL, the salary cap essentially came in 92 or 93, I think, is when it came in. Then baseball took the year off because of the work stoppage, mm-hmm. and everybody became an NFL fan, and nobody has relinquished their NFL fandom, right? Like, nobody's quitting on the NFL. And now, for the first time in 31 years, baseball is kind of back. Like, people have finally forgotten about the 94 strike and everything that went on there. And the last thing you want to do is give them a reason to walk away from your game again. The game is in a great spot right now. Now, are there problems? Yeah. There are. There's still the small market versus big market. But more importantly, there's problems with ownership in Major League Baseball. You have owners that want to win. John Sherman wants to win. We can clearly see that John Sherman wants to win. And then you have Artie Moreno out in Anaheim. That guy doesn't want to win. He just wants to put butts in the seat, go 81-81, and fill a ballpark. You could say the same thing about the Colorado Rockies right now. Do they want to win? I don't know. There's 42,000 games every night. What's the incentive for the Colorado Rockies to go out there and spend money when they're putting 42,000 fans in the ballpark every single night? It's bizarre that they're drawing that kind of crowd for that bad of a product. And so you've got owners that don't necessarily want to win. They just want to make money. And I'll take you one step further. You know, you say root for the Dodgers. We need more George Steinbrenners in Major League Baseball. That's where you have to go when you talk about ownership, because you can hate George Steinbrenner, but you can never doubt that George Steinbrenner wanted to win. I can't sit here and say that every major league owner wants to win right now. I don't believe they do. I just named two that I know don't care about winning. The Miami Marlins is another organization, Dusty. The Pittsburgh Pirates are another organization. They have owners that don't care about winning. And so we've got to get some of these owners out that don't care about winning and do care about winning. We've got to get the owners unified, and then you can go out there and talk to the players about what you want to do. But what a salary cap and floor, and you have, if you don't put a salary floor in, I don't want a salary cap, because I'd rather have a salary floor, quite frankly, than a salary cap, because more people will make money in baseball if you put a floor. It raises everybody's salary, and it forces these teams to go out there and spend money and put a product out on the field, and it gives the fans something to go out there and root for. How many organizations in baseball are done in March We've lived that life where you know you just don't have a shot. So you even the playing field, you create parity, you create excitement, you create people loving the sport in every single market. And I'll go back to Vinny Pasquantino, 11 a.m. every Sunday. He thinks the Jets are going to win. Don't you want that feeling every March with your baseball team where it's spring training and you feel like they've got a shot to win a championship? That doesn't exist in Major League Baseball right now. And these big money players, the guys that are the Ohtanis, the $300 million players, they need to sit down and shut up, quite frankly, and let the younger guys and the guys who don't make money dictate the terms of what needs to be done, because that's how you get that salary cap and salary floor.
Speaking of those two floor teams, the A's and the Pirates, more likely to be on their teams in 5 to 10 years or 5 years, Nick Kurtz or Paul Skenes?
I'm going to say Nick Kurtz is going to be that guy because they're going to Las Vegas, allegedly, and Bally's is behind them, which is a casino. They've got money, allegedly. So because of that, I will say Kurtz will stay with the Athletics, because if you're the Pirates right now, you need to trade Paul Skenes this offseason. He's going to bring you a lot of back in return, and then you can totally build up your organization. Remember, the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill and went to 3 straight Super Bowls. The Pirates can trade Paul Skenes and get like 27 players back in return and build their entire organization from that.
Get the 27 Yankees from the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying Kurtz with a little bit of a cop-out because I think you gave us 5 years, and I think Skenes has 4 years of control left. So even if they don't trade him, he's walking before 5 years, and he's going to probably
the Mets. Unless there's a different style of baseball, like if we have the NFL style where Dusty's talking about with a cap and a floor, maybe.
Yeah, I guess I just went against your whole monologue there for a second, Bob.
That's all right. No, but that's you're operating under the, which I think is correct, assumption that we're not going to have a salary cap and floor.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. But I think your point about Kurtz is also a good point as to why he should be the answer. Or maybe they're holding on to him for, if he keeps this up in 3 years, he's a superstar, and they're walking into Vegas with him as the center of their organization.
And Wilson, too.
What I'm saying, because, you know, it wasn't too long ago they had, what, Chapman and Olsen on that team, both gone. They had Donaldson gone, and now they have Kurtz and Jacob Wilson, two players on their foundation that are going to finish 1-2 in Rookie of the Year. And I don't know if either one of those guys are on that team in 4 years because they just don't spend money.
They had Yandy Diaz. They had Marcus Semien. They had Yoenis Cespedes. Yeah, they just move on from these guys.
You know, you can't go to Las Vegas, though, and put out a bad product. I mean, like the Raiders do. I get that. But it's the NFL. It's a destination. People, the Golden Knights started their franchise in year two. They were in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, hockey's different because you get the pick right away.
Well, you do, yeah. but I'm saying, like, you have to go out there and entertain right away or people just aren't going to go. Like, there's so many entertainment options for people in Las Vegas, whether it's shows, whether it's gambling, whether it's eating, whether it's boozing, whatever the case may be. What are the Oakland Athletics, Las Vegas Athletics, Sacramento A's going to give me that is going to be unique where I feel like I've got to go to Las Vegas and I've got to watch a baseball game? If they don't have stars playing for them, it's going to be really tough to draw a lot of fans, I think, out there.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, we dive back into, is the text line smarter than Bob and myself? Nathan will give us a stat. And the text line, you get to chime in as well. Are you smarter than Bob or myself? The answer is yes, but we shall see. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.